All right, let's have this goddamn conversation. You want to replay it? I'll fucking replay it right now.
What replay? It wasn't recording.
Fair enough. Here, let me play it at 1.25 speed.
Oh my God. I just said that there
I
wasn't.
might cut
Okay.
that part. I might cut
Or
that. I'm not
you
gonna cut
want
that
me?
part.
Okay.
Y'all
You
have
want me
hot
to get.
takes? Y'all have hot takes? Name them. Name them. Send the messenger. I'm right here. We have a YouTube channel. Put your comments.
So, what do you think of Spy Family so far?
Shit, where am I? I'm on episode. He just introduced himself to the politician.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like after school, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. I really do like it. I'll be honest. Here's another take that people are not going to agree with. I actually, Anya's parts are probably the ones I like the least.
It's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. A lot of people think she's really cute and adorable and really like her. Some
Yeah.
people find her very annoying. I am not in the middle. I am more on the side of liking her than not liking her. But to me, the show is better when it's like they're when it's all of them. Like their dynamic is just bouncing.
Yeah.
That's the best part to me.
I want to be clear. I like her when she's with the family. I like her when she's by herself outside of school. But for some reason, any part where she's like thinking about the little brat that she's got to be friends with, like the little douchebag kid, for some
Oh yeah,
reason,
Damien.
those parts bug me. Those parts, I'm like, this kid's fucking annoying. Why is she wasting his time with him? I understand, but fuck this guy. Like,
She just thinks
oh,
she's helping in the mission. Yeah.
I know. And she's also like, she's not gonna lie, she's really cute for a little girl. Like, she's kind of cute. Like, she's
Yeah,
adorable.
it's a good character, yeah.
But like, oh, those are the only parts of the show where I'm like, how much longer do I have? Other than that, I really like it. I love how Floor felt really insecure after Nightfall. That whole tennis part, I'm like, Jesus Christ. There's 36 panels underneath the tent. I'm like, so they're shooting them with rubber bullets, electrocuting them, using like mechanical thingamabobs, rackets, and the floor stuff, like, and the ball boys are in on it. Just fucking shoot them at this point. Like, it's fine. Just put a bullet in each of their skulls. It's basically like easier than all the cheating that they're doing. But no, I like it. I actually do like it. I got 12 episodes to go, and then I'll be watching Code White, right?
Yeah, Code White.
Code White, and then I'll let you know what happens. I'll spoil it for you.
Oh my God.
And then continue.
Yeah, like it I think if I'm not wrong, it comes out. I thought it came out like next week. Because I would have known. Because I got tickets to see Abigail
Abigail.
this Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna see that, and if I'm not wrong, yeah, Code White comes out on the 25th here, so that's gonna be next week for me. Ah,
Gotcha.
damn it, you get it earlier. Shit.
Ah, that's because I'm not
Yeah.
even a true fan.
Are you watching it with Nikki or are you watching it by yourself?
No, I'm watching it by myself.
Okay.
We've been watching a
It's
lot of like death gameplay stuff, so that's fun.
death gameplay.
Go watch the Outer Middle show. He just plays a bunch of scary. It's just a YouTube streamer that just plays a lot of scary games.
I don't really do streamers.
That's fair. Well,
It's
we might
just
be streaming someday, and we're growing our audience.
maybe I don't know. It's just that I don't like watching streamers because I get desperate because I want to play the game. Like I don't want to, yeah.
That's
Like
fair.
I want to play the game at my pace. I don't want to see someone else play the game. But that's just me. I know a ton of people that really enjoy it to watch them and like it's like a whole community.
Yeah.
But I'm not for me. Speaking of things that are not for me, that was your cue.
Oh. Chema, hit the intro.
Apologies, we would have done it better, but you know, we decided to try this new AI stuff and like, you know,
It
it's just
glitched for a
not
second.
work it's not working as it should. Thank you for welcoming us into your headphones. My name is Chema.
And I'm Eddie.
reviewing Late Night with the Devil, and this is the rollback, the live television event that shocked a nation. A live broadcast of a late night talk show in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living room. So this is the movie directed by Cameron Karnes and Colin Karnes, a sibling a duo, starring David Dasmakian, Laura Gordon, Ian Bliss, Faisal Bassi, Ingrid Torelli, and Riz Ottori. This movie that was ahead of the festival run last year and finally got a release here. Totally original idea, pretty unique idea and execution in a way of showing almost like a lost found footage thing going on here of like a late night talk show in the 70s, starring the very, very charming David Dasmakian, who usually portrays the side characters. I believe this might be one of his first starring roles, which I think it's very, very, very cool. And now here we are, a movie that had everything going for it and just decided to just fucking throw it in the trash in the weeks before its release, where it was very controversially found out that it uses AI for several images used in the movie. I believe that's going to be an important point of conversation here when we talk about this. But there is something special about this movie, and it's the fact that we got to see it together. And isn't that nice, kids, that we get to sit next to our friend and watch them overreact to a movie? So tell me, Eddie, what did you think about Late Night with the Devil?
So I've got a question for you. So there is controversy.
You want to address it head on. You don't want to talk about the movie yet.
No. So I'm going to ask this. Can we talk about the film apart from the controversy first, or do you want to leave the controversy until the very end of the episode?
Like, we gotta leave the controversy. Let's just leave the controversy for the very end. But
okay, because
yeah, just so we can
actually talk have some about the movie shit on the controversy from our YouTube channel that I want to bring up.
Excuse me.
So we'll bring that up when we get there. So I guess initial reactions to this film. It was funny because me and Chema watched it at the same time at the same theater, and as soon as I got up, you said, man, I really liked this movie up until the end. And then I think I told you exactly right after that, that's weird. This is a top 10 movie for me. Was a top 10 movie for me. As of right now, it was a top 10 film. To be fair, 2024 hasn't been full of hits. But yeah, like I really enjoyed this film going in. I think we discussed it on the way afterwards. This movie invokes a lot of like analog horror from YouTube channels, as far as like giving you like bits and pieces of a documentary, what's happening, what's going on, what's happening behind the scenes, and all that kind of stuff. So I really enjoyed this movie top to bottom, from the throwback appearance to the accuracy of, you know, Satanic Panic in the 70s. The way they represent everything, the way they told us the story of Jack Delroy and his rise to fame, inevitable downfall, his wife, his attempted comeback, and this is his big, you know, it's sweet, sweet, guys, we got to make this one happen. And everything in between, I really enjoyed this film from top to bottom, including the story. Practical effects were great. I think, and I'll say this, how much Shudder have you seen? Like the horror app, do you watch a lot of movies on there or not really?
So here's the thing, Shudder is actually not available in here.
Oh,
fair. But I have friends that have it, and sometimes they'll stream movies for us in Discord, on Discord. And so I've seen my share. I've seen quite a few there. And look, I am all for original horror, and I am all for, you know, a new age of like, there should always be like a specific thing that is popular, in the same way there were possession movies and then, you know, monster movies. And then now I believe the kids are really into the analog horror. We had a pretty fun back and forth after watching this movie, in which you told me specifically like the kids love analog horror. And I told you the kids do not love analog horror. They love YouTube videos of people explaining the analog horror. Because I am one of the poor souls that actually sat down and watched Skinamarink. And I can tell you something. That shit was ass. It was ass. And not even like a good shaped ass. It was like a ass. Okay?
Maybe not a fan. You just don't get it.
Maybe I just don't get it.
Hey, man. I'm the guy that doesn't understand some like artsy films and whatnot, right? I can appreciate some art movies. Some art movies, I'm like, why? This is dog shit. Maybe you're just not one of the cool kids anymore. Maybe you're past your prime now, Chema.
You're right. Maybe I should have watched it at 125 speed and maybe I would have understood.
Son of a bitch! you know what? Well played. Well played. I don't know if you can hear this clapping, but well played.
I'm gonna mark that as a win, and I'm gonna mark that as the end of that conversation.
Fuck.
So yeah, that's a good one. Okay. No, but so we talked about this, and we talked about like the analog horror, and look, there's a lot of really well-intentioned things in this movie. There's three that are not.
Oh, we will get there.
We'll get there. But look, the atmosphere, the vibe, the patience, the pacing, the acting, the way people are talking, the way people like just move in front of cameras. There's something really special here, or there could have been something really special here. And I told you, like, I was with this movie until, like, its last, like, 15 minutes or so, maybe 10 minutes.
Like, the last, like, third of the film.
Yeah, like, the last third, it was not it for me. But, like, the first two thirds are pretty interesting. Not unique, not, I will dare say this is not a must watch. I would dare say this is not a must watch. I think there are, you can find shit on YouTube that does things like this that I think do it way better. But what does this movie have in its favor? Well, it has a bigger budget. It's got David Desmalchian at the lead, which I believe he should not be blamed for any of this. This is not his fault. And I do believe he should get more leading roles because I cannot believe they took him this long to get a leading role. He's really good. He's really good in this. And it's just everyone else in the cast, formed of mostly character actors, I think act really well. Like I said, I was with this movie until like the last third. But for the first two thirds, I was having a pretty fun time. Not a unique top 10 time, but something that I would go like, yes, I'm glad I watched that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think, so I guess let's talk about the atmosphere of the film for a second. I love the fact that it felt like an actual soundstage from the 1970s, 1980s. Granted, I don't know. I wasn't fucking there. I wasn't alive at the time. I wasn't even a thought. I was a fart in the wind at the time. That said, it feels very authentic in that capacity and their commitment to the bit, as you would say. They present the film, I think, in what, 3-4 or 4-3 ratio? Like
4-3, yeah.
In an old school like TV fashion. The only time that breaks is when we get the black and white at the behind the scenes. And it's very clear. It's very clearly showing us the differences in the shooting style. Those little things matter. Some films do that well. Some films don't. I do think they did it well. I think the premise is very original and very much a story of old. In the sense of like, hey, a late night talk show host who hosts on Halloween and they speak with the devil and stuff. I've never heard of a premise even remotely that batshit nuts. So I was on board from the get-go. In addition to that, though, I want to talk about the characters for a second, if you don't mind. There's so many good characters and some fucking hateful characters in this film. I want to talk about Jack first, but I want to go over each of the main ones. But we'll cover Jack first. Spoilers in 3, 2, 1. So Jack Delroy makes, and this is part of what you hated about the film, is at one point he it's essentially he's outed that he did make a deal with the devil for fame and success. It's a monkey's paw situation where turns out the fame comes after he murders a young girl on stage. But nonetheless, fame is achieved. But he makes a deal with the devil and it costs him his wife. I'm not saying I would make that deal, but for me,
That butt is very dangerous.
very but indeed. But I would not make that deal. But I can sympathize and understand with the desire to succeed. I don't agree with what he did. I don't agree with making a deal with fucking Satan. But the fact that he wanted to succeed so badly, that is a character motivation that I can understand if ever. And I love that. I love the fact that I can understand each of the motivations. They're not the most technically sound, right? But I like that I understand where they're coming from. I like, let's talk about the douchebag, Carmichael the Conjurer, the guy who's a skeptic that just keeps punching down at people. He's partially right. Like, hey, these guys are liars. At least I'm honest about it. But he's such a douchebag about it. He's such an asshole. And you understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, maybe, just maybe, fuck this guy in particular. Maybe. But
Yeah, so you were physically reacting in disgust towards this guy while watching the movie.
I hate him.
Yeah, here's the thing. I would hate this guy if I met him in real life. But as a character, I think he works so well and you hate him so much because his performance by one Mr. Ian Bliss is absolutely wonderful. He was one of my favorite parts about the movie. That pompousness and that personality. I mean, you can tell this actor was just having a ball playing this
Oh, he was
part.
eating up the scenery.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like when actors give it their all for a role like this. Ever since he walks in, you can feel like he physically owns the place. It's kind of great.
See, and I think I hate him so much because this is what he reminds me a lot of an internet troll in the worst ways. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like if he was around right now and we were like, global warming's a bad thing. We just had a cold winter. What do you mean global warming is a thing? Show me the proof. What do you mean global warming is a thing? Because all I feel cold in December, like it's always been our whole lives. It is hot in the summer. Why don't you understand? You don't get it. That is how I feel like this douchebag would be if he was alive right now. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe, just maybe, fuck that guy. I stand by that. But and then we get to Pristu, the psychic, which is so they let him perform straight up, like, oh, I can read your mind. Oh, I'm getting a penny or something with a P, Penelope, something with a P. He plays that whole shtick, something that we're all very familiar with. Even at one point, tricking me, thinking, oh, maybe this guy's actually a psychic. Like, maybe they're going to give him that. And then later on, they reveal, oh, like it was a questionnaire. He wasn't psychic at all. But they use that as almost like an anti-twist because after his whole spiel about, oh, your son, like, he loves you guys. You can hold on to his toy, his teddy bear, or whatever. Then he goes, Minnie, something, Minnie Payne. And you're thinking, oh, it's another part of the act. No, that's real. The act was the bunny and all that shit. This aspect where he's talking about Minnie and then he vomits blood and dies on the way to the hospital, horrifying, but also they ramp up the tension. Like it's not just, oh, it's this one spirit. There's shit going on everywhere. But
Yeah.
your move.
Look, Christo played by Faisal Bazzi. Yeah, pretty good character. It was pretty cool to see. I like seeing him clash with Carmichael. Honestly, well, he's not in it that like the first third or so. And then we get like that chilling moment where spoilers, but like we get told like, oh, like he died. Like he died on the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I like that everyone's mindset on the show is like immediately like, do not let Carmichael know about this. Like, do not. Because he's gonna fucking eat it up, you know?
Wait, what do you mean? Like he's gonna.
Like he's gonna call him out or something. And like he's gonna say, like, oh look, he threw up because obviously he was sick, not because it was like a possession, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that. There's also Laura Gordon who plays Dr. June, and Ingrid Torrilli who plays little Lily. And these are pretty much like after they show up, they kind of take over the movie. It's kind of their movie after that.
They get like a very long, what, like almost 10-minute sequence in this, and this film is not very long, but they get a
Yeah, no,
very long
it's.
sequence to conjure Satan, the devil, sort of.
Yeah, Mr. Wiggles, as they call
Mr.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, 93 minutes. It's a 93 minutes movie. Not long. Like you and I saw it like at 3 p.m. and we came out and it was still daytime.
Yeah.
Like it's to me they all work because look, I haven't seen any of these actors in anything. Like they kind of work because I don't know them. But it's kind of cool to see them like all around and then have Dasmakian at the very front. He plays a very charming leader man and you know a kind of guy that you would see on TV that you would see try to like you know have a charm and that wit and that like comedian almost. I like all these characters. To me, they do fit really well into this like big puzzle. I mean, until it doesn't at the end.
So, can we talk about the demon talking first, and then we get to the act that I guess divided
Yeah.
us?
Yeah. Let's go.
So Lily is tied to a chair, and they're essentially trying to conjure the devil. And the doctor is very much against it, like, hey man, like I don't know if this is a good time, but Jack Delroy, who wants these fucking ratings, we need to go the extra mile. Up until this point, he could have stopped any of it. He could have been like, you know what, you're right, let's cut this, and he's saved. But no, he continues to push forward and essentially like browbeats June into allowing her to have a session with Lily that conjures out Mr. Wiggles. And it's insane how just the littlest things make all the difference in the world. How when I think it's Lily, right? Yeah. When Lily is there, she clearly looks like a little girl, but when she transforms into Mr. Wiggles, they don't put a shit ton of makeup on her, make her look demonic. They just swap out the actress with someone else to take the form of Lily while she's possessed by Mr. Wiggles. And from what I'm seeing, I can't even find who's credited with playing that unofficial version of her. I can't
Are
find it.
you sure it's someone else?
Yeah, a completely different like bone structure, like delivery, everything. Unless they like caked on the makeup, it seemed like it was a different person underneath the hair, which if you ever watch Shudder, like their VHS movies in particular,
Yeah.
they're known for pulling tricks like that to get the point across.
But like, have you confirmed that this is what happened?
In this particular film, no, I assume so because the bone structure was so different.
I assumed it was all makeup,
It's
but
possible, but then if they did, then they kicked on a shit ton of makeup because her cheekbones were completely different, as was her chin.
okay.
It could be makeup. I'm more than willing to admit that, but I know Shudder has pulled that trick in VHS where if they need to move an actor but give them an ungodly form, they just swap out the actor, but they keep the same clothes and the same makeup and the same hair.
Amazing. That would be pretty cool if only they would have considered doing that practically for something else. Anyway, yeah, her scenes are pretty amazing. And honestly, it's not even the transformation scene. There's a scene where she's brought into the stage and she sits down and like they cut to another camera and she's just staring at the camera. And it is terrifying.
Is like, you don't know if it's because she's so young, she doesn't know better, or what's in there.
Yeah. It's just there's something so off, and I wish the movie had more moments like that. And you know, we'll get to my problem specifically with that, but there's something that really like bothered me about like the movie just kept insisting on itself, like almost telling us like, look at this, isn't this scary? Like look at this instead of like, hey, let us see it, let us breathe, let us get to that conclusion. Which is also a problem that I have with the ending. But specifically in that scene, it's also like another reason why I kind of don't love the fact that they kept cutting like to what they're doing between breaks, like the black and white part. It felt like a cop out. It felt like okay, we're kind of tired of filming in this like 70s way. Let's just shoot this normally, just in black and white, and we'll pretend like it's like background. Like why? Like this could have been like a full complete package of just like all shot in 70s. Look, I don't think I've told you about this. I recently got into film photography. This is my little 35 millimeter camera. So
Oh, nice.
I recently got into this, and I've revealed a couple of roles by now, and I freaking love it. Like I really like it. I'm having like a blast, like taking pictures of something that I cannot see what it's gonna look like. I don't have another like shot. I have limited amounts of how many pictures I can take. I love this. I freaking love this. And whenever I get those pictures back, I always think like, man, this feel like they could have been taken like 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And so when I saw the movie, I was like, man, like this looks great. Like the grainy and the color saturation and the 4:3 and everything. And then it would just cut to modern day 4K ass boring black and white shit, of which, look, show don't tell. Like, don't tell me how to feel about the movie. Don't tell me how to like Don't give me like all this background explanation. This movie is dropping us lore when it should be dropping just a straight up spectacle. And that's my biggest problem with the movie, especially with the ending, is the fact that it's like a movie and then also attach. It's like, hey guys, here's what you missed on Late Night with the Devil. Let me explain to you what happened because you don't know how to feel about the movie. I'll tell you how to feel. By the way, remember to use my code for Raycon earbuds. Like, it's like, I don't give a shit about that. I want to see the experience. Like, I want to think for myself. And this movie just made me mad by the end.
And see, that's interesting because I think, folks, as you can tell, this is where me and Chema are really divided on this film, where we both like the premise of it, the looks of it, some of the acting performances and stuff. But like, for example, for me, when I took the black and white, as someone who watches an ungodly amount of documentaries, I didn't mind it because it felt like something that was behind the scenes, and that's why they made it black and white, and it even went from that grainy to like that behind the scenes stuff. It felt proper. It felt on point. And I didn't mind that. It didn't take me out of the experience. If anything, it brought me closer in because I was able to understand more of the characters' motivations and the ideas and the thoughts because we saw them behind the scenes. Because there we get what's his name? Jack's sidekick, Gus. We see him freak out in the back going, dude, this is not right. We need to stop this now. What's going on? He can't do that like on live television. There'd be no reason to keep him around. But
But it breaks the immersion a little bit. Like it like who's recording them? This movie starts.
you're looking at it from perspective of as if it was presented to you as a true to life documentary where you I think when
Dude. The
but
movie starts presenting itself as a true to life documentary. It starts with an opening
but that's part of the
narration and
documentary
essay.
experience is the behind the scenes black and white. Like that does happen in some documentaries. Like they'll like show you what's going on and then the recreation of the behind the scenes stuff. Granted, maybe you would have liked it more if they had used different actors and been like, this is a recreation of what was said behind the scenes according to
It
10.
would have been smart. It would have been like a good way to do that because the way that they did this is they started off saying like, here's the found recording of like this, and then they showed it to you, and then they just cut. And then like if at some point the characters would have been like the black and white sections and turned to the camera and be like, stop recording me or something, like that would have been something. But like they're talking about very like they're talking about like curses, or they're talking about like people dying. They're talking about things that could ruin the show for them, and they're letting them record it. Like, I'm sorry, but it's just like it breaks the immersion so much that okay, this movie cannot decide if it's a found footage documentary or if it's like just a found footage or if it's just analog horror, because then how do you explain the ending, like that whole almost dream sequence that Jack has, where he kills his wife and like and then cuts back. Like if we had not seen that, if we had been cut to just him like stabbing them, like maybe between like the cuts, I wouldn't have loved it, but I would have liked it. And then I don't know, just this, like the fact that the movie does not cannot decide what it is, it breaks it too much for me. And I think forgiving it, I don't know, like it's allowing too much. It's a slippery slope. I mean, who decided what this was gonna be? An AI?
God damn it, we're gonna all right, fuck it. I did want to mention real quick, they did fake me out a bit with when Chris Tu did the whole like watch, I'm gonna hypnotize everybody. They
Yeah,
did
that was cool.
fake me out. I was like, oh shit, the demon's here, yeah. And then they're like, JK guys, it was all an illusion. I actually did like that part. But okay, let's talk about the controversy. So Late Night with the Devil, the directors came out and said, and it was noticed, I don't know by who, that between the screenings of it being at some film festival, I don't know which film festival, I think it was, I guess it was South by Southwest, in between
Maybe.
screening it from one film festival to another, the pause screens where it's like, we'll be right back in a moment, right? After this message from our sponsors, it was discovered that those original images or art or whatever the fuck was there initially was replaced by three AI images that the directors were, and I'm quoting them here, experimenting with. They wanted to try and use that. And it's crazy because if you go back and review the art, you see where it doesn't look right. We humans have an ability to see the uncanny valley, the stuff where, wait, that's not right. That's not supposed to make sense. It's a learned trait, which that's fucking terrifying. Imagine our ancestors in fucking caves. What looked enough like us to where we had to distinguish what was not one of us? That's fucking terrifying. That said, those three images were discovered, and there's been significant controversy surrounding the film, even enough so to where people actually commented. Our most commented, second most commented video on our YouTube channel is about this, and it's people arguing about the pros and cons of the use of AI. Like, it's nuts. People arguing disagree that the new title cards take anything away from this movie. AI, whether you like it or not, will infiltrate every aspect of entertainment. Serious controversy. Can you virtual signal any harder? Jesus, man, if AI is the end of be all, you're not gonna like movies, very soon. A lot of stuff like that, which I'm gonna be very clear about my stance on this. I want there to be no questions whatsoever. Fuck AI in any capacity that can be used in a film. I so much so that this film, which probably would have been in my top 10, I'm disqualifying it for three images of AI use because, as you said, it is a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope. If we start saying like, oh, come on, it's nothing, then we're gonna say it for when they do big things. So what the fuck were the fucking
Directors.
cannot what?
The director.
No, what the fuck were the strikes even for? If we're gonna just be okay with this, even if it's just for a little image. And like, here's the thing, and I told you this when we walked out of the movie. Imagine you're a graphic designer or like an artist or just a drawer. Like if you would have drawn, if somebody would have been commissioned to draw these, and they become and the movie becomes a hit, and it becomes like for example, like I mentioned, like the movie is not, I didn't love the movie like by itself, by the movie by itself, maybe just because of the ending, I don't love the film. It takes out a lot of points. But I can admit that it's a pretty cool thing that exists, that I'm glad it exists, and that I hope that, I would have hoped that it survives and that people keep watching it every like Halloween. This would have been really cool to have become like a new Halloween classic that people just rewatch on Halloween, because like God knows it's better if we have more that are different, because this way you appeal to everyone. Imagine being the person that draws that, and that image becomes synonymous with the film. People redraw that. People have it. People they put it on shirts. People get it tattooed. Like, it would have been amazing. It would have been something that it's so clearly tied with the movie. The same way that the butter knives are to Coraline, those images could have been to this movie, and you wasted it. Like, it's an opportunity that is wasted, that you do not, you have an opportunity to have an image that even without text, like, you can wear a shirt with just that thing, and it doesn't even have to say Lay Down with the Devil. You just know because of how successful it could have been, because of how, but this soured people's minds before even watching the movie. And while we were watching it, every time that those images would show up, I would boo at the screen.
And I didn't know why. I didn't understand. You didn't tell me
Oh
what they
yeah.
trained you until after the film.
Yeah, it was just nasty. 'Cause like, look, I saw people on Twitter that were like, here, I drew my version of it. And it looks so much better. It looks so much better. And I don't want AI generated images in my movies. I especially don't want them in my horror movies, which is a genre that lives and dies on its originality. And most of the time on its practical effects, it is nasty. It is nasty work. And I hate that I had to see the directors of the movies be like, yes, of course we did. Like, not even in like, oh, you caught me. In like, yes, of course we did. It was awesome. Like, don't you love it? No, we do not, Mr. Cairns. And Mr. Cairns, I do not like the AI generated images in this movie. And I don't love the movie itself, but I would have liked it a lot more if the experience wouldn't have been soured by that. I hope this experience leads to studios and directors and everyone being aware that people will catch up to this. People will catch it sometimes even before the movie comes out. And I saw a ton of people that already had their tickets bought and were canceling them. They were canceling them before seeing the movie just because of this that came out. People were very excited about this, and it ended up doing a lot less than it could have done because of the AI controversy. Now, it is a specific group of people that care that actually do this, but those are the people that are going to make your movie live or die, because this was not a big studio movie. It was not a big budget movie. It was not a summer movie. It was a movie that was, honestly, it was wrong to have released this not in Halloween. It should have come out a little later in the year. So you have all the odds against you. Using AI just made it a lot worse because you eliminated another core of your audience.
See, I would argue that you say, oh, not enough people through it. Man, if you had told me this, we would have bought tickets for a different movie and then just walked in to watch this one. We could have contributed more to Godzilla versus Kong. I'm just saying. Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire. Go watch it now today. It's out live. It's unfortunate that I think a lot of people. It goes to a lack of what do you call it? Compassion and empathy at the fact that AI can be a great thing. I truly believe that. Here's the thing. AI can be a great thing when it does my dishes. AI can be a wonderful thing when it folds my laundry. You know what I don't want AI to do? Write my books, do my painting, or make my movies. It should not be doing those things. It's a cost-cutting measure, and I think studios are trying to see how much they can get away with. The strikes were for writing and for acting. It never said anything about art. The good news, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, several big entities in the video game industry are beginning to unionize, from the artists to the voice actors. They're unionizing, they're setting up to strike because they don't want AI used in their industry, which I agree with. And even if you are pro AI, like let's just say you are, even AI and art, the thing is AI cannot create art on its own. You need to feed it something. In a sense, that's theft because it needs something to work off of. It cannot create something original. You have to feed it something. No piece of AI art is 100% original because if you AI create an image of Batman and the Joker, motherfucker, that's a pre-existing image of Batman and the Joker. I just, AI is should not be used in a creative fashion. It should be strictly used medicine, business, put some CEOs out on their ass, they can pull themselves up from their bootstraps. Convenience. But in the realm of art, no, not in any capacity.
You said comedians, or do you say chameleons?
What?
Did you say comedians, or did you say chameleons?
And where? When? Did I fuck up my
The
words?
last thing you said, like before,
It cannot be used in my art. No, it can be
is
used. Oh, it can be used to get to boot CEOs. It can be used for medical reasons, business reasons. Art's not one of them. Art.
okay. Yeah. Look, I don't even call this AI art. I call it AI generated content. This is not art.
That's fair.
It's ugly. It's what it is. And this movie, even without that, to me, it's still not great. And I am doing something that I don't do, which is I'm refusing to give this a score. I am just out of like protest. I don't even want this to be a conversation. I want, if they say AI, I'm gonna say no. So, yeah.
See,
It's what a waste. What a fucking waste of a good premise, of a good idea, of good ex of good execution.
a great movie.
That just, what a
Well, to me at
waste.
least, I understand. So
Yeah.
fundamentally, if we take out the AI, which we should not, but if we take out the AI, I think fundamentally you and me have two different philosophies when it came to this film. Because remember, you also mentioned how nowadays, and I don't know if you want to dive into this, that there's
Yeah.
an issue with people being spoon-fed information in film. I'd argue, no, this is just like the 10th page of the book. Like it fits to me. From everything that they presented, it fits to me.
See, to me, it doesn't, because the movie presents itself from the start as like a found footage slash documentary thing, and then it just stops to show us like what they're doing behind the scenes, without acknowledging that it's being recorded, and then it ends with a dream sequence that just is stacked right in the middle of the movie. That makes no sense to, as a found footage thing. Like, absolutely doesn't to me. Like, this is like taking three different parts of, I don't know, things that just don't go together and smashing them together. I do think there is like a good, that's why videos on YouTube explaining shit are so popular. I hate when I finish watching a movie, because look, every time I finish watching a movie, especially if it's like a big franchise thing, the credits start, I pull up my phone, I Google name of this movie, and then is there an after credit scene, just to know if I have to stay or if I can leave. And the first suggested option is always like the movie explained. And it's like, not every movie needs to be explained. Like, think for yourself, like try to arrive to a conclusion. Buyers, if you require some context, sure, but there's a lot of things that are, don't hate me here, but can be quite obvious, and people are just not getting to those because they just refuse to even think. They prefer to have some white guy on YouTube that just read the synopsis on Wikipedia and just tell you what happened. And I don't like that. I read a ton of books. I watch a ton of movies. I like letting my imagination fly and reaching a conclusion. And I'm not saying everyone needs to be like me, but I'm saying when the movie tells you what is happening and how you should feel, it's not great. I felt the same way when we saw, God, what was that other movie? Knock at the Cabin. When we saw Knock at the Cabin, and there's a moment where like the characters kind of turn to each other and go like, "Yo, it's four of them. It's the four horsemen of the apocalypse." It's like, I'm supposed to think that. Why are you telling me that?
See, at that point, I agreed. At that one, I was like, that's a little too on the nose. Not always, but that one was too much on the nose. That one I agreed with you on when we first did it, when we first did the
Yeah.
review.
Yeah. And on this, I just feel it's not the same, but I think it's pretty darn close. Like, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid to make something where people have to think afterwards, and that stays with them? Because, like, look, remember the Blair Witch Project?
Yeah.
Like, that movie starts and ends. And I watched it as a kid because a cousin had a VHS of it. and told me, "Hey, look what they found."
Jesus Christ.
I was in pain for days. And I would not change that experience at all. Hell, even Skinamarink, as much as I criticized it, at least it committed to its bit. It started and end as like a full recording of nothing, but it's there. And this, it can't even decide if it's found footage, if it's a documentary, if it's an actual feature. And that, much like the decision to use AI-generated content, is misguided. And that's how I leave this movie. I find it very misguided. It's got some enjoyable moments, it's got some enjoyable parts, but it's at the end, it's not a thing that I can fully wholeheartedly recommend, and I'm sorry.
That's fair. Look, not every, we're not, but we're both not going to click on every single film.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, I might go back and rewatch it. Not now. I would definitely watch it with in a way that they can't make money off it. Wait, not too
Yeah.
much.
I'm going to shut shut.
But I can't give it a score
Yeah.
either. It's DQ'd in my book.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because I really did love the premise. If we can get more films similar to this, just, the AI, I'd be all in. And I hope we get more stuff like this. This reminded me a bit of if it wouldn't feel out of place in the first Joker film, where the first Joker film takes place in like the 70s, early 80s. I wouldn't mind if we get more horror films during that setting. Fear Street was awesome. That's because it was two out of three of them were throwbacks.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get some more stuff like this, more horror like this.
Yeah. Look, we're gonna get some cool stuff this year, I think. I think. I don't know. It's just complicated, and horror is already like so hard, especially with like the rise of different kind of horror, like social horror. And I'm kind of worried that the only way that we're gonna get like interesting horror is only if it takes place in the past, which is why this does it, and why Lisa Frankenstein also kind of worked, even though that wasn't like horror. Immaculate also takes place earlier. Maxine later this year is gonna take place like around the 80s, 90s. I don't know. We'll see how things like Long Legs and Cuckoo and other things end up working. But this is not a thing I can recommend. Sorry.
Well, folks, you have our unfiltered opinions on this one. What did you all think? Why didn't you guys like it?
Yeah, please leave the comments. And yeah, if you're pro AI, I mean,
Go
you're
fuck
not
yourself.
gonna find similar. No, I'm not gonna say go fuck yourself, but like I am gonna say, like, know that what you're watching is two people that care a lot about this and don't want to see AI used in movies. I'm sure there are people that do. You can go and watch them.
No, I
But
stand
if
on
you
that one. Go fuck yourself if you want AI used in any kind of film, in music, in TV, in any capacity where you're taking jobs away from people that are want to be creative individuals, if you're one of those individuals that's like, I don't care, it was done by a computer, fuck the guy trying to make rent. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, go to hell.
yeah, go to hell. All right, so that's going to conclude our thoughts on Late Night with the Devil. Next week, we're doing,
Monkey Man?
I guess we're doing Monkey Man, and then next week, we're doing Spy Family Code White, if it all goes well. All right, so Monkey Man's going to fuck you up, man.
Why though? In a good way or
In a good way, I think you're going to really like it.
is it gonna scratch that John Wick itch?
Yeah, it's not at the level of John Wick, but it is its own thing and has a lot of fun. I actually saw this interview with Dev Patel where he got bombarded. Like every question was about like, oh, John Wick this, John Wick that, John Wick this, and he was like, buddy, this is inspired by a lot of the Wuxia films that I grew up watching that John Wick is also inspired by.
Ooh.
Like not every movie about a character with a gun and a vengeance story is inspired, is a John Wick movie.
No, but I think that paints the success of, like, this movie was so good, everyone thinks that everyone else is ripping it off.
I mean, to me, John Wick is like Old Boy, but not as good. So, you know.
I mean, to me, Old Boy didn't have three sequels and continued to get more successful.
Because it didn't fucking need to. It's a cult status movie. Have you ever seen Old Boy?
Yes, both of them.
Okay. Okay, but the John Wick ate up
and Scarlet Witch. Ugh.
Did John Wick eat a fucking live octopus? I didn't think so. Speaking of John Wick, did you hear John the Wick news?
With his daughter.
Did you hear the news?
Which one?
Keanu Reeves is voicing Shadow in Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I did hear that. I'm sorry. I thought Idris Elba was a lock.
Idris Elba already voices Knuckles.
Wait, I thought Idris Elba voiced one of the bad guys.
Yeah, Knuckles.
He's a bad guy?
He's bad in the second one, but then he gets good at the end.
Folks, as you can tell, I've never seen Sonic 2.
Oh my God. Sonic 2 is like, look, Sonic 1 is bad, and Sonic 2 is like miles better, so much good, so much better. Like, it's so stupid how good the second one is. It made me excited to watch the third one. And the fact that it's going to be based on Sonic Adventure 2, my personal favorite Sonic game, and also the Shadow the Hedgehog game, I'm excited. I don't love the idea of Keanu being Shadow. To me, it would have been very funny if they got like an actor that really took it seriously. And with Keanu, there's always like a, I don't know, just like some humor there, because he's like a good bad actor. So I don't know. I think because there was a rumor that it was going to be Hayden Christensen.
Uh-huh.
And I love that idea. I think he would have taken it so seriously. It would have been so funny. But I don't know. Now we're going to have Shadow saying shit like, excellent.
What if, like, he's like, I need you to kill Sonic. Nobody. Excellent.
Excellent. But, yeah, like, we'll see.
Evil delivery. At least once, he can go to hell.
I'm excited. I want to see it. But yeah, so that's Keanu's next big move. Shout out to Keanu that rejected contracts by Marvel and DC, but happily does SpongeBob and Sonic. What a good guy, Keanu.
You know, it's funny. I bet Keanu is probably the only actor that they couldn't buy. Like, I'm sure they offered him $100 million to play Uncle Ben or John Kent for like 10 minutes in a film. He'd be like, nah, I'm good.
Keanu would not be a good John Kent.
I'm not saying he would be a good John Kent. I'm just saying he would definitely reject the role.
Yeah. Anyway, so this was cool. This was this what we just did. So we finished that. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll be back next week with another review. Check out the socials. Check out the YouTube for the physical reviews. Check our TikTok for Eddie's 60-second reviews that always are longer than 60 seconds.
You're welcome. And, at least I'm consistent.
Yeah. And check me out at your local, I don't know, gas station, just chilling there, waiting for the burritos to keep rolling. Thank you so much for joining us. My name was Chema.
Folks, if you see Chema at a corner store, do not approach him. He's dangerous.
Yeah, I'm definitely going through something. Signing off with a reminder to fuck AI.
What?
And I wrote that, so.
We're keeping it. Wait, do you want to have that discussion about what is cheating with a robot cheating?
No, cut it.